to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
I'll be your living,
will you?
Sanctuary,
cry for you.
Amen. Amen. And it says the child shall lead them. So maybe some of the song leaders might ought to take a little advice and stop talking so much and start singing a whole lot more, because there's a lot of conversation made instead of trying to build for the pastor to come in to preach on. Okay, so maybe the children should lead. We'll get them to lead singing. That'll work. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 21. We will try to get on further into the message. I want to try to bring this series to a close. Maybe this coming Wednesday we'll end it. But just pray. I have just a few thoughts on my mind. But when you get kind of down to the end of a message, a teacher style of a ministry is different from others. Others can just read and pick up a thought and preach from it. But a teacher just kind of follows a line until you see it. You know, and the prophet said, hold it up until the people see it and then move on. And that's the way I do. But it's really good when you're about halfway through a series and you figure, well, I got at least maybe 20 more sermons. But when you get down to preaching the last one or two, it gets kind of slow on you and you're wondering where to go next. So just pray that the Lord would guide each and every one of us. And I'll just remember the announcements. And I pray the Lord would bless each one. Remember now to make sure everybody understands, this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Brother Keith Reed will be here with us from Jamaica preaching. All right, now if you want a place to stay, don't wait until Friday. You know, don't do that. If you want a place to stay, we'd be glad to help you and get you a place to stay, you that are away, to come and spend the nights with us and things and fellowship together and all. And a lot of people offer places for you to stay and be glad for you to come and stay with them. But, you know, don't wait until the last and then, you know, get ready and talk about, well, we'll just go up and stay. You know, don't do that. Do it now and get everything set and be glad to have you. Because we want you to do that and not drive backwards and forth from home on a lot of you that are driving a long ways. So just remember that. Friday, 7 o'clock. Saturday, 7 o'clock. Sunday, we'll be only having one service, Sunday morning. It'll be Sunday morning service and be a dinner immediately following the morning service. So just remember that and tell everybody you see, and that way we can all fellowship together around the message. And I know that Brother Reed will be a blessed to each and every one of us, because he always has been. And give him a little time. He generally gets a couple of services. This way we can get him in the line to where he can preach three services to us and, you know, let the Lord lead him as to what to say. I think he's going to Brother Daniel Gessendiner's, that's as far as I know now, on Wednesday night, because he's coming over Wednesday, and I think Brother Daniel's supposed to pick him up Wednesday. We're supposed to get him Thursday, and then I do not know what he's doing the next week. There has been some mention of places, but don't know anything. I've got to call him and get everything in line. But just remember that and pray one for another. Revelation 21. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you. We ask you that you would just guide us now as we try to speak about you, Lord, and to try to, Father, as we know that we're coming down to an end of what we're the thought upon our mind, and we believe that the people has received the thought, so we pray that you'd bless and reveal it. And our thought has totally been of one thing, Father, to see that the book of Revelation is showing you in your people. And not to separate and to be different, but to be the same person to be revealed. That way we can believe truly in one true and living God. And knowing that we are the final form upon the earth before the rapture of that God. And we realize what a position you have given us, what an hour that we have. And Lord, forgive us when we fail you, because we know that we do. We know that we sometimes cannot believe exactly the way that we need to. And just help us, Father. Help each one. Bless the sick among us. You promised it, so we depend upon it. You said, I sent my word and healed. And Lord, back in 82 and 83, when we seen you do so many things and not praying for anyone, but it was a promise you had made to me, Lord, that I had asked you to fulfill the word that there would be signs and wonders take place among this little group, and that I wouldn't announce it until the end. Lord, I pray again that you would just come on the scene, and because of the opening of thy word, that you would manifest yourself among us in a mighty way. Guide us now and keep us, Lord. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Now I'm going to try to title this. Now we'll take, I know, one more service but this will be the final view of the bride. So we're going to Revelation 21 to speak about this. And also that would be the title of the message, The Final View of the Bride. Revelation 21, verse 1, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. We'll continue the other part maybe later, but that'll be fine right there. You may be seated. May the Lord add his blessing. That's what I said. I want to try to bring the message to a close on this part, and maybe pick up some other things, maybe pick up some things out of the book of Revelation and speak on it. But this is 57, I think, sermons. And so we'll try to you know, end it maybe Wednesday talking about the city. Because if there's going to be a people, there's going to be a city for the people to live in and all. And we'll talk about that, the Lord willing, Wednesday. But now, I wrote on my notes like this. You know, the prophet said that you read a book or something, you know. And if you just read that book and it said, and John and Mary lived happily ever after. Well, see, you'd say, well, great, John and Mary lived happily. But see, I like to know who John is and Mary is and why they was happy. Don't you? All right, that's what we've been doing with the book of Revelations, is seeing, you know, the bride and seeing her revealed in many ways, many types, many shadows, many positions, many whatever you want to call her. But to see that it was Christ in the bride. It is not another person or a personality being revealed. I in no way believe that, because I tried to show you that if you go with too many personalities, you're back to Trinitarianism. All right. But if you go to and hold it till Jesus was the last form and don't come down to the bride form, then you're a oneness. All right. So that would not fit the true thing. But when we come down and see the last that God has joined himself. There we were talking about Revelation 19 where it says, King of kings and Lord of lords. See, he has joined himself to the bride and will, from there on, everything is, you know, showing him and her and on their way to what we call the future home, you know, which we know is right here. All right. But now, here's what I want you to think about. All I've tried to bring to you is to show his attributes. To me, that's what the book of Revelations is doing. It's showing the attributes of Almighty God and where they're made manifest. And it's made manifest in a group of people. All right? Not just in him. We saw all the attributes back there. We believe that God didn't gain any attributes, as we were talking about this morning, as he came down. He didn't gain any extra ones. All right? He hasn't gained any attributes since he came on earth. He had those attributes in him when he came. All right? But we're seeing a display of those attributes. Right now, if you'll take, like I've tried to preach, and many others, I know Brother Dean did years ago in a rapture in a circle. I remember that and all. And you're trying to come back to a place. All right? So now, this afternoon, I want you to think about that, looking at the final view of the bride, that you see her in her beauty, which is dressed in his righteousness, and she is a display of his attributes. All right? Now, just as a natural wife, you are a display of their attributes. We was laughing a while ago right there talking, because when the storm went through yesterday, Brother Bob had all the four babies. Sister Monica was wonderfully trapped over at Walmart. She had to stay over there while the storms went by. See, he had all the attributes. She was out shopping. But see, that's what a true wife is. A true wife is a display of the attributes, you know, of her husband and the things, you know, that you see. That's why my wife always wants to make sure that I'm dressed right. She wants me to be dressed right. She wants me to look this way or that away, you know, because she says, well, that's, you know, I'm reflecting her, I reckon, and I do a very poor job of that part of it, but still, see, to me, when you see him, you see her. Right? When you see her, you see him. Alright? He's not revealed apart from that. That's been this whole 50-something sermons to try to get you to see. That when you see Jesus Christ, you see his bride. But when you see his bride, you see Jesus Christ. You know, you don't see it separated. You see it together. and it gives a beautiful picture of the attributes of our Lord and Savior. It is not what we are. It's what He's made us. He chose us to be His bride. He chose you and I to be here in the end time. Now, we think that's not... We think we're nothing. Right? You know, I mean, that's what... Well, you know, we're not even worthy, and they're nothing, you know. Well, that's fine to think that way, but that's not what God says. Now, God don't look at us like... Now, listen. Maybe I'll try to express this point, but get the point. God don't look at us like we're a bunch of garbage cans and said, I'm happy to be related with them. All right? Now, He doesn't look at a prostitute wife and say He's glad to be married to her. Now, that's not what I'm talking about in no way whatsoever, any form or fashion. He sees His own attributes on display. All right? So it's His attributes made manifest in you and I. The last attribute that God has... Now, we know we talk about attributes. That he had attributes as a healer. He had attributes as a Savior. He had attributes as a Father. We talk about all that, right? All right? We say we believe that. But what about His final attribute? What about His final attribute as being the bride that He's chosen for the hour that we're living? I know that doesn't ring into our hearts like it should. I know that. But yet, when are we going to realize reality? We talk about a rapture. We talk about a change. We talk about a reality. But when are we going to start looking at it like that, as a reality and real? That it's here. Alright? We talk about God and His dynamics of the Word, and we believe in it. And I believe this is the way He's to come, is through the mechanics, of the Word. I believe that's the way He's to come, is through the mechanics. But there's also dynamics that goes with that. And maybe we should start putting more emphasis upon the dynamics. And that's not gifts, signs, and wonders to me. That's what most people think of dynamics. Dynamics to me is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for God to come and join Himself with a group of people until that group of people is God made manifest upon the earth. There will be signs and wonders following that type of a group of people that can realize it. See, we cannot be the dynamics. We can't be the mechanics. We had to receive the mechanics from God. But we cannot make it manifest. I mean, I would to God, there's plenty of sickness among us. I would to God that I could walk up to you and say, I take that away from you. I mean, I pray that because it's upon me that the people here are sick. I think of you and you sick, and here I am, you know, preaching to you about the great glory of Almighty God. But I cannot heal you. The prophet said all that a minister can do on demonology, all a minister can do is break the spell that Satan has over your eyes to where God can speak to you. That's why I do like I do. That's why I walk very soft. You think I don't. But see, I don't want to offend you, because even a little bit I said there a moment ago, some of you probably got a little offended. And for the rest of the service, your nerves are going to be shaking. And you're not going to listen to what I say. So go listen to the tape when I get through. But see, I love you. But I want to do what God wants me to do. And do it in the order. We all believe that we're led. And there's where the trouble is now. Now let me say this as much as I can. There's people laying out of church today that say they're led of the Lord to do that. Right? And so you say, I'm led of the Lord to do this. And when our trouble comes in is when we say, I'm led of the Lord to do this, and I'm going to do it. Now, you're not led of the Lord. You're not led of the Lord. Because God walks very soft. I've prayed for God to help me in many ways. But there's one thing I don't want Him to take off of me. And that's the love I have for you. And the tenderness in my heart to put up with you. Now you can get offended at me, but there's my heart. Because that's what I've always been. My family's that way. I don't say things to you right out in the open like other ministers do, right? I don't holler and scream about things like other ministers do. I try to walk soft. But that's me, and I'll keep doing that. Because that's my nature and that's my ways. And whether I'm led of the Lord or not, that's something for you to be put up with. But listen, you cannot see God without seeing His attributes. You can't see Him without seeing His attributes. How can you see Him without seeing His attributes? Well, I just read the Bible. Well, somebody wrote that. That was attributes that was laid down the word that we could receive that. So you cannot in no way receive anything from God without going by way of the attributes. But then when He's dealing with that attribute, I remember Sister Gail telling us years ago that she went to a Pentecostal church and she was wanting healing. You remember that? She went in a church and she was wanting healing. Well, she misunderstood which line they said. And she got in a line for to receive the Holy Ghost. And they had her in there trying to teach her how to speak in tongues, saying, I owe you and I owe you and all like that. Well, see, then she got the wrong attribute. Because that wasn't what she wanted. That was fine. You know, but that wasn't what she wanted. See, she wanted that day an attribute of healing for the body. And that's the way we must have to deal with it. We've got to look at God's Word and see what we need and see the hour that we're living. And that's what I've tried to do with the book of Revelation. Even to show you that Brother Branham knowed what he's talking about when he said the bride would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He said that she would be the Son of Man made manifest on earth. You remember that the other night? This past Wednesday, if you haven't heard that service, you need to listen to it. Because it's shown in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation shows the wonderful attributes of our Lord and Savior. I was going to title it that, but we'll just leave it the final view. Because what would be a final view? What would be your thoughts of a final view? Now I know how I'm funny in thinking, I know that, and I'm sorry. I wish I could think like everybody else, but I can't. I have trouble thinking like I do. Me to be anything else, it would change, and I can't. But what would be your idea or your thoughts about a final view of a bride? Because when you get over into there that we read in verse 9, it says, "And I will come hither and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." All right, now what? As we covered the other day, a bride is one thing. You know, someone just getting married is called bride. A wedding day would probably be your thoughts of what I would want to bring out about the final view of the bride. You would think it would be a beautiful layout of a wedding. You know, and I kind of have my own way of thinking about weddings anyway. We were talking about this the other day. I said, what I think they ought to do is, I think, and I don't mean this as a doctor now, I'm just saying it. And I think the best thing that could happen to Amy and Jeffrey was for the mom and daddy on each side to figure out how much money they're going to spend. On the wedding. Give them the money to pay their bills. You know what I'm talking about. It costs $10,000 a lot of times. I think that's cheap for a wedding. No. They were just give them the money and say, okay, go find a preacher and get him to say you're married. You know, I don't mean that wrong or think there's anything against weddings now. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying that's the way I think. Because that way you'd wind up with less problems of all this preparation and everything. Of course, you wouldn't have all that to think about how you went through it. And you wouldn't have the bride's book and all that. You know what I'm talking about. I hope you do. But listen, what would be the most wonderful thing you could think of in a form of a final view of a bride? All right, now we know that we're married to Christ here. We know we're the bride of Christ. The prophet in the seal book, that's what he started off, said, I call you bride. All right. Thank God for that. But he didn't say that I call you wife. You know what I'm saying? Now, he may have used that word, but I'm getting the point across. It's growth development to come into being a real wife. All right. Well, see, when that bride becomes a wife that understands all of the ins and outs and up and downs of, you know, the husband and all, and find, you know, knows what he likes. You remember, I remember when Brother Donnie Reagan was preaching here, and Sister Bridget sang that day, and he came out later and he said, I don't know who that sister is, but if I was married to her, she'd sing to me every night. Because it meant something. He liked the voice and things. Well, see, now you women know what your husband likes. I don't know where you ever do it or not, but you know what he likes. You know his desires. You've learned that over the years. Because that's brought you to a position of being wife, family, and all like that. But I'm just wanting to hold it to a point to this afternoon for one thing, and I didn't write one quote or anything, and I just wrote down a few things to think about because I wanted this just to be fresh to think about. What would be your picture? A beautiful wedding, all the flowers, all of the things, all of the goings, and the preacher saying, I now pronounce you man and wife, and this and that and the other, you know. And that's beautiful, that's fine. But see, I'm different than that. The way I think about the final view of the bride is to see her that would be so wonderfully embedded into his mind until that, as we'll get on to Wednesday, that he would make a city. He would build a place to exactly fit all of the things that his wife would ever desire. Because see, at this position, you've done gone through the wedding supper, you've done gone through the coming back to the honeymoon, you know, and the things, and the honeymoon's over, and the white throne has taken place, and Gog and Magog has come into view, and things like that, and all has been done, and John said here that he said, I'll make all things new. But see, to think about a city that John would so much see that when he would try to describe the bride, he would talk about the city. But then when he would talk about the city, he's talking about the bride. To me, that is a wonderful thing to think about. And I wonder how many of you done it, and I didn't either back then, and I think I've done it since then. But how many of you carried your wife over the threshold when you got back to home? And I remember one person said, my wife is afraid of heights. I said, get down on your hands and knees, let her get on your back and ride through the door. Because it is really a serious thing. In Africa, maybe, might not be now, but it used to be, that, I mean, they just basically lay down a stick in front of a door. The whole family knew all about it, and they all gathered to watch. They done give the pigs to the groom. I mean, he done give the pigs away. He done, and everything's ready, and they're standing looking, and all they do is the man and the woman just walks and steps over the stick and over the doorway into the house. And they're married. Right. That shows the finality. All right? See, and we'll get to it Wednesday. I said about the future home. I don't want to go so much into that because what I want you to think about is I want you to think about the Bible description of the bride or the wife that has truly made herself ready. She is no longer just the giggling little She's no longer the shame-faced time, and I'm bragging on you, sisters. You may not think I am, but I do. But, you know, when you were embarrassed when you first got married, you know. In other words, you're there, and you have a husband, and you didn't have that before, and it's only you and him. You're kind of embarrassed, you know, a situation. But yet, see, after a little time, after a honeymoon, after a time, like I told you, me and my wife had one night, and that was a honeymoon to us. We couldn't afford to go, we couldn't hardly afford to go eat, you know, but we had a honeymoon. That was for us. But see, it takes time to settle in and start seeing the wonderful attributes of each other. See, then listen. Let's just read what he thinks about her. Now, this will be about the city. All right. But it's also thinking about her. Look over Revelation 21. Look at about verse 18. Because you're coming down to the city line, four square, and the different things, the gates, and all. We'll get to the city later. And the building of the wall of it was jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. Now, I can't pronounce all these words, so if I miss it, don't worry about it. Life and go on. First foundation was jasper, the second was sapphire, the third was cardone or something, and the fourth, emerald. The fifth was a sardonyx, the sixth, sardonyx, the seventh, I don't know how to pronounce all the words, so don't worry about it. 21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. It's decked with 12 different stones. All right? The breastplate of Aaron, if you'll go back and check it, the breastplate of Aaron was 12 stones, right? Signifying the things that was there, and it's not 12 different ones, because some of them were the same as far as you got into the 12 months and the different things, and one will do this and one will do that, you know. But those 12 stones represented the 12 tribes of Israel. They were beautiful in that fact that they were attached to the high priest. He carried those, you know, reverently because he knew what could happen from those stones. And you know the story that if a dreamer had a dream and or someone had a revelation or something, and they would come to that breastplate and they would tell that. And if it was a true dream or vision or word, then those stones would light up. A supernatural thing would take place. But what did it turn out to be? What color? What was it? It was a rainbow. You know, the colors of a rainbow would come out of the breastplate. The high priest could see that rainbow and he'd know that this is right. Well, see, what about over there in Revelations about 4 when we were going through that? And I said I'd pick up some of these things later. And he's described as stones. Sardine stone and different things. Jaspers. His description is in the stones. Satan is a perverted type after Christ. And Satan is shown in the stones also. That's why a lot of people don't like. They use that to be against rings and jewelry, and I'm against a dime store. Now, you know what I mean by that. Everybody out there wouldn't, but people here know what I'm talking about. I'm against women looking like a cheap dime store running around, or one of them just got my sister-in-law. She had enough rings on her hand, and they were real valuable that we could build this part onto the church and wouldn't have any trouble off of those stones. But there were so many of them, they looked unreal. So the prophet described it, and you know what he said? He said, you women got something your husband gave you, etc. Fine, we wear wedding bands, we wear those things. All right. Well, we don't go around just decking ourselves out with a bunch of jewelry because it doesn't look right. See? But God is revealed in stone, Ezekiel 28, Satan is shown in the stones. But that's a type after Christ. A lot of people don't know their Bible, and they'll say, oh, we don't have nothing to do with stones. We don't have nothing to do with this, that, or the other. You know where the gold and the things came from in the Bible with Israel for them to make the golden calf? It was the earrings taken off the men and the women. And we're against wearing earrings, right? Why? Because faith comes by hearing. We don't want to fool with that. But see, a lot of people don't even know it's been in the Bible of all those things. But that's a type after Christ. Because Christ is revealed in the stones. And he reveals his bride in the stones, a beautiful thing, because you shine a light upon those stones. It comes forth as a rainbow, a covenant, a beautiful thing. Have you ever seen a rainbow that went from all the way across and down? You know, come all the way. You ever seen it? I've seen it a few times, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, really, to drive in. Brother Tom and us were one time going down the road, and we saw one. And to drive into that, it was just like you was just, it was just like you was in the colors. It wasn't that the rainbow kept going. You know, it was just like we were in the colors. We got over to 441, and Brother Tom remembers, and some people were looking at it, but they could only see a height. We told them we'd seen the whole thing. So we decided to go up the road a little further. We were starting to go up the road, you know what it looked like? The end of the rainbow. I told Brother Tom, I said, Brother Tom, we ought to stop. Search around a little bit, because they say there's gold at the end of the rainbow. Well, you know what? That was the only time I've ever seen that. Where that rainbow came down over there, was as gold as any gold you've ever seen. The trees wasn't green, the grass wasn't green, everything was gold. It's a beautiful picture. But see, there's a rainbow round about the throne over in chapter 4. And in 5 you find it, a rainbow. Not just a covenant. That rainbow was the bride. The 24 elders are there. The 4 combat beasts are there. The thousands upon thousands are there. That rainbow is actually you that the light is reflecting off of. And that's where you go out on any given day. It doesn't matter. As long as the sun's shining. You take a water hose and you spray it up. What does it do? You get in the right position, you'll see a rainbow. Why? Because it's a covenant that he never destroyed the world with water anymore. But listen, that rainbow is showing those colors. And that rainbow is the beauty of the bride of Christ. That's sitting around the throne there in Revelation 4. See why you could just keep preaching off of it and just from one verse to the next and preach until eternity comes about the beauty of the bride? Sure, we take it in different ways. But like I said, what would be your thought? You'd probably think a beautiful laid out wedding where everything was perfectly in harmony. You know. I was somewhere here a while back and they were showing things that happened at a wedding, and you know, a lot of people pass out at weddings. I mean, a lot of times the bride will pass out. A lot of times the groom will pass out. Preachers even pass out. You know. But listen. To see her as God sees her is a beautiful thing. But go back sometimes and just take a thought in your mind and run through the Bible and think about what God sees us as. And I don't mean this to be funny. I don't mean it to be anything. I just mean it to be the truth. It's what you're looking at. See, like what I said, you're looking maybe at a wedding that took place. I'm looking at a full-fledged bride that's coming home from a honeymoon, going into a home that God Himself has put everything to her touch that she wants. I remember reading of, Bill Gates, I guess. I forgot how many millions of dollars he put in his home. And what was amazing to me was to think about it. He wore this little thing on him, and he never had to set the temperature in the house. Because everywhere he walked, that was the temperature of the house. If he went in the bedroom, the temperature changed. If he went in the kitchen, the temperature changed. I mean, it was the temperature that he wore. That was, I thought, man, this is getting smart, isn't it? You know. But now listen. God would look at things and say it in a way about Israel. And I said, he'd say, I see a flock of rams. I see a group of goats coming down from the winter. We say, man, that don't look too good. But if you was a shepherd like David, it would write maybe that. That's a beautiful thing to see it in that form. So the old Indian, you would ask him what would be a beauty. And he'd say, to see that herd of buffalo as they're grazing upon the grass. He'd say, that is an act of beauty. Why? Because that's his living. God's tried to describe his bride in many forms. I want you to go to the Songs of Solomon. And let's just read a little bit. But I'm just trying to get you to see what God thinks of you. And how He describes you. Because the Songs of Solomon is a type of Christ in the church. On the second coming of Jesus Christ, page 16. 42, 43, future home. 85, spoken words, original seat. It's a type of Christ in the church. And Solomon is describing his wife. Look at it in 4 verse 1. Behold, thou art fire, my love. Behold, thou art fire. Thou hast eyes, thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is like a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Now, wouldn't it be something for a man to get up and introduce his wife? But see, if it happened then, everybody in the building would be fastened upon that woman, you know, the beauty of the one that would be introduced, and they'd know what it meant. But Brother Marlowe, I wonder what Charlotte would say they'd say, what does your wife look like? Well, brother, my wife looks like she's got dove's eyes. She's got locks on her hair. Her hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Sinai. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which come up from the washing, whereof everyone bearest winds. And none is barren among them. That'd be Bob Monica. need to end it today. Use the wrong one. Right? Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is commonly. Thy temples are like a piece of pomegranate within thy locks. See, if you take this description, you might not think too funny about Brother Branham when he said his first girlfriend had a neck like a swan and all kind of description he was describing her. And I was describing that to a man one day at work there and talking to him about what the prophet said his first girlfriend looked like. He said, "That's amazing." He said, "That's what my first one looked like." Thy neck is like the Tower of David, builded for an armory, wherein there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountain of Marah and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art fair, thou art all fire, my love. There is no spot in thee. Solomon describing his wife. Over to chapter 7. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hand of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like a heap of wheat set about. Lily. Read about what he thinks his beautiful wife looks like. Well, see, you'd have to think like him. You would have to think like him to really see. You could say, Aaron said, what do you think Sarah looks like to you? She looks like a Chickie's hamburger. Chickie cheese, that's what you call it. Sarah would get upset about that. She wouldn't go eat another hamburger. Right? Yeah. Do you understand what I'm trying to describe? Richard Roberts, what would Anna look like to you? A 12-pointer walking through the woods. Sister Peggy, what would you look to Dean? A Kubota tractor pushing up trees. Susan, what do you look like to Donnie? A carburetor that don't work. Right. I ain't getting you, Danny. I'm leaving Danny out today. But do you understand what I'm saying? You know, we do that to make you think, and you'll never forget this message, because the ones you laugh at, you don't forget. But, see, Sister Gwen, what do you look to Brother Joe? Two headlights on a truck going down the highway. Gail, what do you look like to Dick? Hey, you caught it. See, she knows what I'm saying because she knows what his love is of what is in his life. And see, that's what I'm trying my best to describe to you. I remember a man used to come to church here with us, Robert Holland. He said, I can sit and weld all day for 5 hours in one spot. I thought, Lord, don't ever make me a welder. He said, I can sit and weld this burn rods for 5 hours. That's what he enjoyed doing. That was his love, his thoughts. You see, God describes his bride. But we went backwards in it because Solomon is the type of Christ in the church. But see, in the book of Revelations, he describes her as the jewels, the diamonds, the stones, the beautiful, beautiful things that are, you know. You see what I'm talking about? It's whatever your thoughts are. A shepherd would see a flock of sheep coming down, and he'd realize that that was his whole life. The Indian would see a buffalo, and he'd realize that was his whole living. And they said, "What does your wife look like?" He said, "A group of buffalo." Why? Because it's putting it together to see what you think of the other person. What do you think you look like in his sight? Now let me say it in this part and finish it. If he sees us as stones, you know. Now, there is no impurity in a real stone. This is, it's not a real stone, right? A diamond that has a flaw in it is not a true diamond, right? It's not an imitation of something else. It's just a diamond that has flaws in it. But when he saw her over there, he saw her as the jewels without any flaw whatsoever. No form whatsoever, because it really takes an expert to take a diamond to not be able to, you know, I mean, it really takes a great diamond for it to be where there's no flaws in it. I don't understand a lot of that and hadn't bought a lot of them, but I know one thing for sure. You pick up a diamond and you just turn it backwards and forth. If you see a black spot or a dark reflection or a line that looks like a hair, they can tell you that's a pure diamond all they want to, but it's not. But see, when God describes his bride in Revelation, his wife, by then she has become one with him. He knows her character. And she knows his. There's no flaws. Even God said it about Israel when, I think it was Balaam trying to curse him, when God said, "I see no fault in Israel. I see no flaws." Why? Because you look into the right end of it. That's the why I preach the way I do and the way I do. It's because I don't look at what happens in here. No, I'm not looking to today. I'm looking for to see you in the rapture. Then if I miss it, I'm stand by and watch you take off. I don't have no problem. Because I'd realize I had something to do with maybe polishing out a few of the flaws that was in the diamond that needed to be buffed. All of the stones that you read, that we read about there, every one of those are beautiful, perfect. I don't believe that the breastplate of Aaron was made of stones that were of imperfection. Do you? No. The best that could ever be found. That's why even like the red heifer, they talk about it, it could have three or four hairs that are white. You know. And that may be true. I don't know. I've never took time to try to study it out to think about it. But see, it's supposed to be perfect. Three or four hairs would mean the best man could get. But without any white hairs, black hairs, or anything, it would be what God wants. And Israel has come many times close to the position of having that red heifer. And one day they will. And see, even in that, we think about that women are nothing. you know, dog meat. She's not even in the original creation. Now, she wasn't in the original creation because she was in Adam in creation. That made her more original than it would have been if she'd have been made like a dog. But yet you don't hear that. You don't hear the fact of all of the beauty that's described of the bride of Christ. When you just hear them talk about that women are nothing but a bunch of dog meat. You know, hamburger compared to a New York strip or something. I know what the prophet said. That she wasn't in the original creation, right? Because the dog was in the original creation, male and female. But when it comes to the human, Eve was in Adam. She was not off of a dirt off of somewhere else. She was in Adam. That makes her of royal beauty. If you could just see what God thinks of you as His bride, it would maybe change our thoughts about our life and our doings. To see the beautiful stones, the beautiful things, and see no imperfection. Because that's the way God looks at you and I. No matter what we do, remember, He's looking at us through the blood. And you look at red through red, what do you see? White. But just remember, folks, don't play around with that blood, because one day that blood will be removed. And when it is, the Bible says, I think it's in 22, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. But he that is righteous, let him be righteous. You know what Brother Brown said? He said, if you're cutting your hair, that is what he said, quoting that scripture. He said, his sisters, if you're cutting your hair, he said, go right on cutting it. Why? Because it's all over. Because he said there won't be one short-haired woman in that city. Now, I didn't say them things. He said, yeah, but what about somebody that don't have no hair? She'll get back every hair she ever had. She won't be there as a bald-headed situation. But you see, one day that covering will come off. And just for a short time on this earth, you better be covered by the blood in your heart. Because there'll be a time when there won't be no bumper blood. That's what causes the tribulation to take place, is the bumper blood is gone. That brings the wrath of God upon the earth. Because there's nothing to cover. So let's don't play with, well, one day. No. Let's line up now. But think about what God has shown and shown her beauty as His attributes. What is the stature of a perfect man? Is it your and our attributes? Is it us? No. It's the attributes of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, imparted unto us. It's His faith, His virtue, His knowledge, temperance, patience. But once He gives it to you, it becomes yours. Who wants to tarnish their wedding garment? No. Who wants to make a mockery out of the wedding garments that God has supplied for us? To make His beauty on display. He's proud to show His wife. He's proud to let her be seen. Solomon was proud to show and talk of the beauty of that wife. Might sound odd what he was saying, but it's the most beautiful picture he could draw. See, we would say, draw a picture, Solomon, and we'd say, what do you see? And he'd draw out those things. And that don't look right. I want a Marilyn Monroe picture. And you'd call that beauty. When all of her attributes was death. She never heard this message. I'm not nothing against her. She probably never heard this message. She probably never got a chance to be saved or anything. I'm not against her. I'm just saying her beauty was death. The prophet said more people sent to hell because of her actions with the natural beauty that she had than all the liquor stores in the country, something to that degree. See, we look at beauty as one way, and God looks at it another. Would it, well, maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'll say it this way. You know, maybe sometimes God needs to put our eyes out to where we could look at each other and see beauty. You remember the little girl that Brother Branham prayed for that didn't have no eyeballs, you know, no sock, didn't have nothing in there. And he prayed for the little girl. You remember that was, I believe it's the one he stopped, and he said, oh, by the way, he said, what color eyes do you want? She said, blue. Well, she didn't know what blue was except what had been described to her. How can you describe to a blind person how beautiful the spring of the year is? But Sister Trudy likes the fall of the year. It's according to what you're looking at. How could you describe to a person that couldn't see what beauty looks like? They would have to have a mental description in their mind. So the little girl somewhere had heard that blue was beautiful. Maybe her mother told her about the blue skies and the things. The prophet prayed and she had blue eyes. But you remember what she done? The only way the little girl ever knowed about her mother was what was described to her by somebody. She took her mother's face. But that's you. She knew that was her mother. She didn't have, nobody else couldn't take the place. Because she could feel the lines. She could. But listen, folks. Maybe we need to become like little children. You know, a little child, year, 2 years old, it don't care what grandma and grandpa looks like. Right? It doesn't go around saying, grandpa, you ugly. No. It looks at what grandpa can do for it. It looks at how grandpa can take care of it, and feed it and clothe it and things. A little child don't look at mom and daddy to see how beautiful they are. But the most horrible situation could be like the story the prophet told of the little girl that, or the woman that was, you know, the girl that was coming back from college and her friend was with her, you remember? And the mother had got burnt all over to save her. And the daughter, when the girl laughed and made fun, who is that old ugly looking thing over there? She even denied her being her mother. The man told her, said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Said, she lost her beauty where you could be beautiful. See, that daughter wasn't a real daughter. It doesn't matter what your face looks like. It's what's in your heart. Boys, you look and try to look into the face and you'll get the wrong girl. Girls, you look into the wrong face, you'll get the wrong boy. Look into the heart of what that person is. Because there is an old story. Beauty is only skin deep. Zach knows the rest of the story, don't you, Zach? Ugliness goes all the way to the bone. Don't look for beauty. Look for beautiful character. Because just remember, after a few years, some of that beauty's not going to be there. Then what are you going to do? Go find you another one? Try to find you a young girl or something? with beauty. You don't have the nature of Christ then. Because Christ doesn't look at what we look like. Do you get the point? He looks at what He says we are. He's already, now here's the end of the reason I said the final view of the bride. He's already looked past this life that you and I are in. And He's seen us already, and it's described in the book of Revelation. He's seen us already in the rapture. He's seen us already around the throne. He's seen us already sitting with Him on the white throne. He's seen us already as riding back with Him. He's described us. He's seen us in the sea and the beautiful city and the bride to exactly match it. He didn't wait. You remember what I told you when I first started this series? That chapter 1 of Revelations shows how beautiful God sees you, one like unto the Son of Man, girt about the pouch with a golden girdle, feminine form. Then He gives you the church ages. He doesn't tell you how bad you are and then how good He made you. He tells you how good you are, and then you went and done, and we done what was made bad. But each church age ends with an overcomer. And that's what God was looking at. Come on, brother boy, whatever. The musicians. See, beauty is only in the eyes of the beholder. You know? It's according to how and what you're looking at. Man at work one time, he had a picture. It had about 3 or 4 kids in it. And then it had this woman, and I'm not throwing off. I'm just telling what was in the picture. That was the ugliest looking woman I've ever seen in my life. And what he would do, see, is hand that to people and get them to look at it. Well, then, if you made light or life or anything, see, he was all in the story. He'd chew you out. What's the matter? You don't think my wife and kids look good, you know? And he handed it to me, and I said, wonderful family you got. Beautiful children. And I said, you got a pretty wife, too. I bet she can cook good. Well, that killed his whole thing. Because I didn't make fun or laugh about his wife. The beauty is in the eyes of the one who beholds it. Don't ask me how Sister Bridget ever married Brother Over. Gail, why'd you ever marry Dick? I mean, like Richard said one day about Peggy when he saw her at about 16 years old. When we first got married there, and he said, Nanny, said, you was a star or something? How was it? Model. Said, you was a model. You was a beautiful model. She said, that's what I've tried to be. Is a model wife, a model mother. I don't know why she married me. I never did figure that out. She could have had anybody else she wanted. She chose me. But you see, I don't know why God chose you and me. I don't understand that at all. Why He chose you and me, I don't. But He did. Thank God for that. Let's stand. Go ahead, Brother Boyd. 392. Anybody has a need? Of life proclaim. Jesus, the light of the world, life and mercy in His name. Jesus, the light of the world, we'll walk in the light, a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus. Anybody have a need? Hear the Savior turn is come. Jesus, the light of the world. Send the gospel truth to all. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Comfort the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Why not see? Shone in the diamonds of the beautiful, the sapphire, the stones that are perfect. He shows her beauty. What she looks like to him. Away. Jesus, the light of the world. Walk in the light. Beautiful light. Brother Brown said all the scriptures that spoke of Jesus speaks of the bride. True. But you see, the Bible said there was no beauty in him that we could see him because he looked so bad by being beaten. But that's the world. But when I look back there and I see what he done, and I realize them stripes is what heals my body. I realized him looking like a piece of hamburger meat meant my body could be healed. According to whose eyes you're looking from. He didn't look like a thing of beauty. He looked like a disgrace. But we see him as the most beautiful thing that there is. Our brother's got to go for some tests and everything. Tests now and then. But they're wanting to operate on his neck. Well, let's just believe. Let's believe and let God take care of it. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that we have spoken so much about, by your stripes at Calvary, as they beat you and that blood was running out there, you're doing that to pay the price for our brother for healing. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we count it to be so. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Teach me, Lord. From the Lord. Amen. Let's believe it. Our brother's got to go for some heart tests tomorrow. See, Satan's attacking every one of us because of our age and our things. He's working on the hearts and things. You're breathing. He's trying to destroy us all. All right? Now, if we lay down, he'll do it. If we lay down and take it, he'll do it. But if we stand up, we'll say, God, you are the healer. You're the Savior. You're the one. And he can come on the scene. Amen. Father, when our brother gets there, all is well. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Lay that way upon the Lord. Shall anybody else? He just have a need. But see, look what he's doing. He's attacking in the breathing, the heart, trying to cut those things off. working in your blood and things. But just confess the healer. Stand up and say, by his stripes I'm healed. Let me go down saying that. Who was it? Buddy Robinson, one of them said, let me chew the devil until my teeth wears off and then let me gum him. Why? Because I want him to at least know I'm here. I want the devil to at least know there was somebody that stood up for the word to believe it. He said, well, I just have so much trouble within. You need more believing. Yes, the sun, it'll never go down. The flowers are blooming forever. And the sun, it will never go down. I feel like traveling on. I do. I feel like traveling on. The flowers are blooming forever. And the sun, it will. One more time before we go. I feel like shouting sometimes. I do. I feel like shouting. I do. The flowers are blooming forever. And the sun, it will never go down. Father, as we go our separate ways, we pray, Lord, that you would just quicken the things unto us that have been spoken. Sometimes the words we speak doesn't turn out to be the way we'd like it to be, but yet you can make it to be whatever you want it to be. And trying to describe was not to be funny to talk about, because Solomon was very, very proud of his little bride. And he was describing her to the beautiful, and anyone standing by that was of the same nature as Solomon would know that he thought so much of his bride and her beauty. But yet onlookers that doesn't understand the terms and the ways would think it was a funny thing. For us to be described as diamonds and jewels, sapphire stones, may not look too good to some people, but to a real gem jewelry man, it would really mean a lot. Because he could see the beauty of a pure diamond, a pure sapphire stone, a pure, all of those names, Father, that we cannot even pronounce. But yet to see them perfectly pure with no flaws. We love you, Father. Be with us on the way home and just bless us. Give us of your understanding, Lord, and direct us. Bless the people as they travel. And Lord, most of all, forgive us of our many failures and lead us. Direct us in your love, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus is your name. You're dismissed.